Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
Yes, we most certainly do love our land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the East Anglian's EDL radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. East Anglian's EDL radio show, the official voice of the EDL and the official EDL radio show. Tonight, the co-host of the show is Kel, a.k.a. The Red Fox. She's got a different name. Authentic counter-jihadist. Her nickname is the evening.
That's me.
She used to do this You always used to do something a little bit different when going back a little while, wasn't it, Kerry? We always changing the, and always had me have a little chuckle when she done these things. I've just got to say, just before we start on the show, I'd like to just to let you know that I've had some more problems again this evening, just as I come into the studio and ready to go live once again. I had some technical problems that everything just closed down on me, and I had to quickly call back in and start the show again. And it puts you under so much pressure, don't, when that sort of thing happens, doesn't it, Kel? Our listeners out there just don't understand how much stress it puts upon you when you're going live and all of a sudden everything closes down on you. But
it's been happening to everybody, Jeff, and
is it really?
Believe
it
me,
be
I've sent in more tickets to Blog Talk Radio about this. It's only Blog Talk Radio that everybody seems to be having issues. It's not on any other internet websites. It's just Blog Talk Radio.
No.
They're reinventing the wheel, and I'm getting quite tired of it.
Yeah, it's a say. It's everything. When you got a new format, you know there's going to be a certain amount of issues that you're going to get with it, but maybe
yeah.
It's just me.
And look at this,
know.
And look at this. Tommy, our very own Tommy, he was here in the studio, and now he's gone, and he's in the chat room, and it's a bloody Skype. And we've got Tommy, so Blog Talk Radio,
yeah.
I kill you!
I
Let's
kill
bring Tommy on
I
before we
is
lose
that,
him. Hi, Tommy!
Yeah, hang in there, pal.
Tommy.
We know you sometimes have connection issues and that, but you know, don't worry, buddy. We'll get these problems, and I'm sure you'll be calling in ASAP. It's always a pleasure to have you, you know, part of the our team. That I've got to thank everybody in the chat room as well this evening, and of course of all the great listening audience out there. Before we start tonight, a bit of sad news has broke the last couple of days. One of our patriots has passed away, Mr. Alan Pearce, and everybody knew Alan. He was full of life and a true blue patriot, and you know, what can you say? It's like losing one of your family when we've always said that, and it does happen. We do know, you know, sometimes time goes by, we lose some of our great patriots. But you know what, guys? These people will never be forgotten. Not in the EDL. We will always remember. As the saying goes, as the sun comes up, the sun goes down. We will remember them all for what they did for the EDL and that. So God bless you, Alan, and for all your family. For any of Alan's family and friends out there, my deepest condolences to you and to all the family as well. And that goes from the heart of the EDL as well. So, it's always a sad time when we've got to actually break news that we've lost one of our patriots. It's always a very sad moment in time, isn't it, Kel? But, you know,
yeah.
These things do happen. We know it's just what can we say? We always wonder. He wasn't a very old man. He wasn't old, not by a long way. I'm not sure what sort of an illness he had or whatever. But it was very sad to hear that Mr. Alan Pearce had passed
and,
away.
And people do go up into the slides that we've put
yes,
there.
Please.
There's a very nice picture of Alan up there. And
big smile on his face.
It's very nice. It's sad to lose a patriot, yes.
But we won't forget him. And just that, you know, that little slide there is what people will always remember. People, you know, got that character, the personality. It lives on, you know. Okay, people might pass away, but their memories live on with us within our hearts and our souls. And that's, we keep their memory alive, don't we? We keep them living, you know, even though they've passed on. So, as I say, it's very, very sad. You know, what can you say? Sometimes words is just not enough, is it, girl? You know?
No, it's not.
you speak from your heart. And but as I say, I know it's very, very hard at this moment. I suppose it's just before Christmas as well, Gail. It's going to be a bit tough on the family. God bless them all. Anyway, I thought I would sort of break the news to our listeners out there that we lost one of our good lads there, one of our true blue patriots, an EDL man through and through. So, you know, that's don't know, just these things just happen, doesn't it, Kel? It just takes the wind out your sails a little bit. But we will continue, we will move on, and I know Alan would expect us to do that, and all our patriots, you know, we move on, and we always think that they're thinking and they're saluting us as what we do, you know, looking down on us. Yeah, I like to think that way.
Yeah, and the way I see it is that we may have lost a soldier, but he left behind a legacy.
Yeah,
I like to look at it that way.
I think
Alan would be very, very pleased that he did something. He stood up and he got out there, and he was warning of the scourge. And Alan, that in itself, he left a legacy. So Alan, rest in peace, our dear friend, and we'll be seeing you on the sunny side of the streets down the road ourselves.
Exactly, Kel. That is it. I was just coming to the chat room, so I was having a few problems with the chat room.
Yeah.
Tommy's
having issues. I have him here. Oh, okay. I think we have Tommy back now. Tommy has been having issues with Skype getting in. But Tommy, do we finally have you?
You tell me.
We have you. Oh, for goodness'
yes.
sake, Jeff! I'm telling you.
There is something I would like to say while we're on the subject, Alan. I haven't forgotten about that strongbow you owe me, so I'll come and get it on the other side, mate.
I've got to say, do you know what? I've got to say one thing, Tommy, and that I've been having a few issues. I've got the studio, everything's lit up, but I can't see you in the studio, so my apologies, brother.
I've got them right here. What happened is, Skype is being
Tommy
calls in, Tommy drops out, Tommy calls back in, Skype drops him out again. I get the blue screen, Tommy has dropped his call. It's for goodness sake, what a nightmare, Tommy, eh?
My Skype came up saying it's now converted to Islam, telling me to come back to be successful.
Oh my God.
I basically have to wipe the phone with a slab of bacon with the phantom bacon strangler who called around earlier, so he kind of sorted that for me.
Very good. Oh my word.
As I say,
I can't see your call here, Tommy. And when we open the show normally, I put myself onto mute so you don't hear any coughing and this, that, and the other. Well, I've just got that little thing going around in the centre, and it's just that's all it's doing. It's going around and around and around and around, and that's it. It's not doing nothing else. And that's probably why the clock, you got that little clock that ticks down, Kel. It's not even working for me. So it's very,
really?
Very annoying. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. I've got the studio here. It's all tickety-boo on my end.
That is absolutely superb. We've got a few things we want to be discussing tonight. Just to let everybody know, I think we mentioned the other night that the forum, well, I mentioned this to Kel, that the forum is now live. It's up and running. And I was wondering, Kel, possibly you drop the link into the chat room.
The new EDL website. Yeah,
please.
I can do that. And the link is also there in the show highlights, people, if you want to click on the new EDL website. We have the englishdefenseleague.net/index.php, and, of course, we have the englishdefenseleague.org. Both the links are up there, but I will pop the new one into the chat room for you, Jeff.
Thank you, Kel. Yeah, as I say, because We had a bit of a heads up the other day. We said it was going to go live in the next 48 hours, and that's exactly what it did do. And the same with the merchandise and that. Everything now, ladies and gentlemen, should be up and running. So if you want to order, you know, some of the goods, you know, like a hoodie or whatever, everything's up and running now. So we said it'd take a little time, and it all starts when we, you know, we redispatch and we restart, and that's exactly the case. But just bear with us. As I say, normal things will... will be now brought forward. So there you go. It's just
I've just found this link. If Scotland got its independence, and how they'd have to re-aim as a Union flag, and some of these designs are outrageous. I will not pledge allegiance to the black. Was it black, white, and pink?
Oh my god!
Oh gosh!
Can you imagine that, guys? I mean. What is it, the Union flag we've had for hundreds of years, pledging allegiance to red, white and blue? I haven't pledged allegiance to any other colour. we've also got red, white, blue and yellow. I don't know where the yellow bit comes from. Yeah, I'll put the link in this chat box.
Interesting.
I'll put the link in the chat box. They're actually considering changing the flag if Scotland votes for independence. And some of these designs are outrageous.
Yeah.
Oh, Tommy, thanks.
I can't understand it.
Oh my
gosh. It's all weird.
Hi, where's they see the third flag? That's red, yellow, black, white, blue.
That's unreal. Look, I think that we might have Tim with us, but I'm not too sure because I've got a really weird phone number showing up. So I'm going to disappear into the green room and see if this is Tim or not. So you two speak amongst yourselves.
Okay, yeah, because I can't see any callers, Carol. I mean, I've got the studio, but I can't see anybody who's coming in and that at this moment in time. And what I might do in a minute, when you come back, Carol, and find out if that's Tim or that, I might just refresh the page and see if that will help. So I just don't want to do it at this moment in time, just in case I lose everything. So anyway, you go ahead, Carol, and do your thing. But yeah, Tommy. So how's your week been? Have you had a good week?
Well, apart from nearly having the roof of Halfords fall on top of me today, I was all right.
Say again.
Our Halfords roof was blown off today because we've had,
oh,
85
my God, really?
Yeah,
I know, it was quite ferocious, that wind that blew through today. It wasn't quite as bad as what we had before, but I was a little bit concerned because I went and done a little bit of shopping today, and when I come back, I knew it was quite breezy in town. But when I got off the bus and I was just walking back to home, the breeze got up, and I was a little bit concerned about the trees. You know, I always worry, you know, in case all of a sudden one comes down, and they're heavy old things, aren't they? Them bloody trees, like. So I was a little bit concerned about that because you know, where I live, there's lots of trees around us. But thank goodness, I mean, I'm sorry to hear about the Halfords roof being blown off. Well, that's going to be an expensive to replace that as well, isn't it, when you think about it? Although it's probably insurance.
Well, we had the Coca-Cola van in the city centre today. Went to go see it. Next minute, the thing was nearly on its side.
Oh, my God.
You really
had it quite bad up there today then, Tom, didn't you?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, you guys have been having really, really bad storms. And
to let you know that
Michael is joining us. And they're having quite the snowstorms down there, and we're getting nothing but rain here. As a matter of fact, it's balmy weather where I am today, but you guys are having terrible windstorms. Michael in his neck of the woods is getting a snowstorm.
You have forsaken me, Ella.
I kill you!
Michael, it's good to have you join us once again, and I hope you are well, sir.
Thanks, Jeff. Hello, Tommy and Kel.
Hi, Michael.
Good to have you back on the show, Michael. Yeah, we were just talking about some extreme weather like we've been having lately in the UK. In America, you know, it's not surprising. I mean, you get all sorts of weather, don't you, there? You know, you get the hurricanes blowing through, tornadoes. You get a bit of everything, don't you, in that part of the world there, Michael?
Oh, yes. We have a preponderance of snow just blanketing parts of the U.S. And I think that the true God of heaven and earth, that would not be Allah, is quite angry, you know, with all these jihadists running around doing all kinds of horrible things. And it just seems to be that this inclement weather, I think we can maybe blame on Muslims. Now, you know, Muslims have actually blamed earthquakes, I think. I think Kel can help me on this one. Something to do with women? Wasn't there a prominent Islamic cleric who blamed earthquakes on something that women do?
Yeah, whenever we go on our periods, we disrupt the planet. Yeah.
That's a brilliant idea from...
It just goes to show the mindset of these people that we've often talked about, Michael, to blame it onto women and blame it onto everybody else, but don't seem to realise that this is nature. Nature has got funny ways about it. It's nothing to do with anybody creating these issues. It's a natural process. These things do happen. We have weather conditions, don't we?
Oh, for God's sake, they're going to throw us all in the volcanoes.
Oh, don't.
Yeah, well, we'll
just,
take one of them with us.
Keep your heads up, guys. I have got the studio back now, and I can see Michael, and I can see Tommy, and I can see everything's back to normal. It just needed refreshing by the looks of it, Kel, just to give you a heads up.
Yeah. You probably just had to go out and come back in, eh? Yeah.
No, I just refreshed the page itself, and it just everything came up, and I can see Michael, which I couldn't see before. I can see Tommy, and there's some weird noise going on in the background. So I hope my computer ain't going to blow up on me.
But can I share something important with the audience?
Well, hold on a second. If a pop-up comes up going, Allahu Akbar, then you know. Then you know it's going to blow up.
Now we're entering into the Christmas season, and so we have some wisdom from one of Allah's scholars. We have a Muslim cleric from Australia who has said that a Muslim saying Merry Christmas is worse than committing fornication or killing someone.
Do you know if
you
have
any
Merry Christmas? Oh, yeah.
Has anyone on the program heard about this interesting revelation?
Well, I have. I have done before. Oh, I lost everyone.
I think I'm still here.
I don't know where Jeff and Kel have gone.
No, I'm here. It's just, yeah, I'm noticing some clicking on the sound lines, and it seems to be that people are, it's like a delay or something. It's really weird. So I don't know if it's Skype or it's the weather or, I don't know. If you're calling in from England on the Skype, if that's having a bit of an issue with the audio, I don't know. But it is
I don't
very
hear, I
annoying.
I hear a clear line on my end.
I'm hearing some clicking. But that's okay. We'll get through it.
What I was going to say is if you say Merry Christmas to a Muslim, their reply is bless you. Now that's not blessing for the season. It means Allah bless you. May Allah guide you in the right way forward. And that right way forward apparently is Islam. Give it a try, guys. It's what they do. It's what they have to reply.
Oh yeah, Tommy. What they're essentially doing is that they're wishing you a peaceful journey back to Islam.
Oh God.
When they say that, yes.
Well, they have to drag me a kidney.
I'm going to make it my business.
And pardon me, I cleared my throat. But, they have a phraseology that they use when you say Merry Christmas to them. They say, oh, well, yeah, thanks a lot. And they have this little phraseology that they use. And it's their code speak for we wish you blessed a journey back to Islam. That's what it is. That's what they're doing.
Aye, well, apparently aliens were the very first to land during Muhammad's time, so maybe that's where this whole thing started. Now, we say Islam's an alien culture, well, how much more proof do you need?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Merry Christmas to every Muslim I can this year. I don't know about you guys.
Well, I suppose I could go outside the mosque and hold with a big banner saying Merry Christmas and start putting mistletoes above the mosque doors and all that and try and kiss them as they go in.
I think that's a lovely thought, Tom. You know, show a little bit of Christmas season, and if they take offence to that, well, it wouldn't be unusual for them to take offence to anything, though.
The thing is, though, Jeff, I suppose I could go outside there throwing my Sony speakers and start going, deck the halls with boughs of holly, la 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 la.
That's very seasonable, isn't it, guys? Why shouldn't you do that?
So wait,
you
so
know?
Then
if they
then
find
Christmas
out
caroling would
then
be...
they can always leave the country and go and listen to the wailing wherever, you know, this... These Islamic chanting of theirs is. I mean, they don't have to stay where the people enjoy Christmas seasons. You know, that's they don't like it. Lump it, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not worried if we offend them. You know, that is it. As you get fed up with this, we've got to be careful what we say in case we offend them. Well, bugger them. You know, if they get offended, well, too bad. I'm a bit like that now. Anyway, I'm going to blame all this bad weather on the Muslims, Michael and Tommy and Gal. It's the Muslims that's fault is causing this bad weather.
Well, I don't know how these women are going to cope, because what, the veils are getting blown up. Or I say blown up, being blown off of the heads.
Oh, my God. Oh, gosh. We're going to burn in hell.
Well, I thought I better correct if I have counter-extremism banging on the door.
Oh, God. Oh, AGG is saying in the chat room about the Christmas greetings from our little Islamo friends. How come the atheists don't say anything about that? Good question.
Yeah, that is a very good point, and that is the case. It's only the Muslims who take offence to everything, let's be honest. Everybody else seems to live side by side. We don't have no problems with the Chinese. We don't have no problems with Hindus or Sikhs or anybody else like that. Who do we get all the problems from?
Mm.
Islam. No one else tries to impose themselves. No one tries to change laws to please so it will please them and Sharia. You know, it's only Muslims. We don't find a Jewish vibe trying to change anything, make life hard on anybody else and try to impose this and that. And who's doing it all? Of course, it's the bloody Muslims. And, you know, and we will speak out against it. It's because it just becomes so annoying and tedious. All we hear is them moaning about it and playing the victims. So they do something and then, they get caught out on things and they claim, we want human rights and all that, where they would never afford human rights to anybody else if they go try to cut someone's head off or something. You know, nothing like that. But when it's for their own human, they cry human rights when they've come under some sort of pressure.
Yeah.
It is totally hypocritical. Would you not agree, Michael, that it's so hypocritical with these people?
Well, I think the great hypocrisy also would be that we as infidels are unclean, yet we're talking about people and maybe not all of them, but a lot of them will clean themselves with their hand. Now, I'm not trying to be crude, but you can research this on your own, folks out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can find.
Oh,
believe
me, Jeff, and
yeah.
Tommy's listeners are very learned, and we know all
okay.
about the usage of the left hand and using rocks and stuff like that. Yeah, and
I'd never let one use my toilet, a blocky toilet out there. Use all the stones that they use, Kel. You have the plumber in every time, wouldn't you?
The Prophet Muhammad said three stones, though. Let's be accurate.
That's
we don't
right.
want to misquote.
Yeah, but the thing is,
three.
The famous saying, ye without sin cast the first stone, I think the Muslims took it far too seriously.
Yeah, but you know, I hope they don't cast those stones after they've used them.
Oh, don't, Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
What
is the thing I've always said? They say it's time for them to stone women. Now, these days, you think they're going to buy them a bag of weed or something, but no, they're actually going to chuck stones at you.
Yeah. Yeah, typical, isn't
it? Serious business. but, just on the hypocrisy note, look, the idea that this Muslim cleric actually said that if a Muslim says Merry Christmas, it's worse than a Muslim killing a human being.
How can you justify what he said? How can you justify that? And why?
Well, they call it. It's called shirk.
Yeah,
they call it shirk. See, the problem is that if a Muslim says Merry Christmas, then he's acknowledging that Allah has partners. You know, the Quran has a big hang up on Jesus, and of course they deny that Christ died on the cross and that he's the Son of God. So for a Muslim to say anything that might acknowledge recognition of the atoning death, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, it would be worse than them killing a human being. Now, they kill people pretty freely and pretty often.
Yes.
So it's kind of consistent with the Islamic ideology that murdering and slaughtering human beings
is their way of life,
thing.
Isn't it? It's the way that they do their
Absolutely.
Business.
Absolutely. It's kind of like
and
it's like mowing the grass.
How can we
you know,
ever,
you go out and you mow your grass?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Michael, how can we ever, how there always be an impasse? Even, you know, times that we try to say to, I've been in debating with Muslims, why can't you change your ways? So, because, you know, you deny our faith, the faith of Christians and that. You deny that Christ was crucified. You deny the case that he was resurrected and the ascension. You deny all that. And that some of them even, you know, I've been in debates with them. Some of them said that, it wasn't Jesus. It was a Muslim that was on the cross. This is the sort of misconception that they tell each other. And no wonder, and there's always been impasse, because I find it totally offensive when you hear people, and there's some really bad terminology that they use against the crucifixion and the things that most of us hold very dear, you know. There'll always be an impasse. I can never see their logic of the way they look towards, you know, myself as a Christian and maybe you, Michael, and Kel and Tommy. You know, I can never see that there will be that we can ever shake hands about certain things, because that will always be an impasse, because it's what they've been taught. It's what they've been taught about Christians and Jews and all those things. So we will always have that situation. So
which is exactly why we stopped the building
of the mosque. We can never cross barriers where it's concerned, where they deny people's faith. You know what I'm saying? That is the case, isn't it? Would you not say that's right, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right. You're just spot on, because Muslims are highly sensitive to any criticism or negative commentary concerning the Prophet Muhammad or Islam or the Hadith, anything that has to do with their alleged religion. But yet, it's fine for them. Well, they say the Bible's corrupt and the Bible's been changed, and, you know, they make all these negative statements about the Bible. They deny, like you said, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he did die on the cross, that he did pay for our sin. So this is just more of the hypocrisy of Islam, and it's all one-sided. You know, everything has to be their way. They can go around literally decapitating human beings, but, you know, according to them, we're not permitted to make any truthful statements about what their ideology is really about, that it's just a barbaric, backward cult of oppression, intolerance, and hatred, all directed at people who are not Muslim.
What I don't get the most is when you debate with them and you start giving them verses from the Quran and find it offensive, you kind of think, so, well, you believe in it. If you're offended by your own words and you're offended by your own faith, then why don't you just leave it?
Well, they always say that when you pick something out and you point it out to them, they always say the word is, it's been taken out of context every time. Am I right, guys? Anybody's debating me? No, that's taken out of context. You don't quite understand it. You've got to know.
That's just their self-glorification. And,
yes.
That's a very thin argument, but they still think that they can get away with that one, and they know at this point that it's not true. And especially there are so many scholars, and I don't mean the Islamic scholars. I mean the actual counter jihadist scholars that are onto them, and they're sharing the information. They can't hide behind that one anymore, gentlemen. It's just a ridiculous argument.
They will continue. Kel, the thing about it is they get caught out telling a lie. And with the Muslims, and there was an ex-scholar who actually said this, the bigger the lie, the better. The better you lie, the better the Muslim you are. He actually said that about his fellow, his other Muslim brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Or his listeners, when he said that. So that is the way anybody who talks to a Muslim, you've got to realise that a lot of time they're using deceit, takia, kitman, and all those things to try to make everything seem okay, when all the time they've got hatred in the heart. They don't think of you. Also, it says, never take a Christian or Jew as your friend. That says it quite openly, and they cannot deny what it says. They try to skim over. Well, we have a scholar that says this and scholar, but no, if it says it in their book, then that is the way that what they believe in, and that is the case. So until they decide maybe to do as like a lot of other faves did, is to bring it up to speed a bit and get into the 21st century, so people will take them more seriously, it's going to continue the way it is, in 7th century ideology, not moving anywhere, just sticking in its own time zone, isn't it, guys? I think we all know that, we spoke about this before. They can never move forward. If they don't want to advance the Quran and even change different verses to make it compatible for people to say, well, yeah, they did this or that, but because they can't do it. And the reason why they can't do it, because if you speak to us, they say, we can't change it because it's a word from God. So it doesn't matter how bad the verses are. And don't forget, they all say, well, you can change it. If you find something, a verse or something that's better than that, then you can use that. So what they're saying is, that might not sound too good, but you can also make something out and put that in its way. And this is what we get all the time, they make it up as they go along. And that's what I've always said. Ladies and gentlemen, Islam is a lie built upon a lie. That's my own opinion over years of studying, and I think most people who study it will probably come to the same conclusion. It's a lie built upon a lie.
What I would like to say, guys, is that is that 50 Shades of Grey is more popular in the Bible, but is read more than the Quran. Which
absolutely.
Well, yeah, good, nice one, Tom. I was going to say, Tommy, I was going to ask you, tomorrow there is a some of our people that's turning up about Soldier Ray. Maybe you'd like to make a mention of Soldier Ray to our listeners there, Tommy.
Marina.
What's happening tomorrow?
Well,
excuse me, I've got a little frog in the throat, sorry.
With a very heavy heart, I can't get down there because work have been very uncooperative and I have to cancel my holiday for tomorrow, which I'm very, 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 very mad about. So it's basically in our support for Marina in an attempt to try and get him released. From what I've heard, there will be a counter-protest by the anti-democratic, anti-English UAF.
You mean
and
the traitors of our country? Let's call them what they are, the traitors.
The traitors, the ones who's, who basically, if they were my children, I would be so ashamed. Glenn's told me there's also going to be some soldiers speaking there as well, so...
That's right, Tom, yeah.
Which will always be good. And there'll be some petitions there as well. I think Glenn's going to be taking them into Downing Street.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Tommy.
So
thank
what
you.
Exactly
thank
is the deal with this soldier? Soldier A, this is taking place in London. What are the circumstances behind this soldier? Is this yet another one that we are accusing of stepping out of the realm of conduct in that he was killing he counterattacked a jihadist who were otherwise coming after him and his troops, and now he's the one up on trial, or is it sentencing?
Well, he's the one who's
going to
get sentenced. He's probably going to get a lot of time in prison.
Well, from what
he shot an unarmed
insurgent, contrary to that guy's human rights and contrary to the Geneva Convention. So basically he's committed murder.
Oh, yeah, because the insurgents, they follow the Geneva Convention.
Yeah, totally.
Well,
I've been following the story. Sorry.
Yes, yes, Michael. Yeah, it's, as I say, that it's laying heavy in our hearts that they're going to sentence that young man. It's going to ruin his life, it's going to ruin his family. They even named him in the court as well, which I thought that's going to put him, he's going to put him in danger and his family in danger. And I think the courts that did that, they need to be really reprimanded over that. That was very, very bad, that they should actually mention that young soldier's name in the court.
I was going to say, I've got to quickly say that it's starting to flood outside, so if I suddenly cut off, that's probably the reason why.
Oh my goodness me, you're getting some really, really, you're getting some Muslim weather there, Tom.
I'll have to brace the back garden and get some bacon on the barbecue and just try and scare it away.
Okay,
may I interject? I've been following that story for a particular reason.
Michael, please do, because there's people in the chat room that are not quite familiar with the story of Soldier A, and I'm more or less paraphrasing in the chat room Leavenworth 10, and we're familiar with what the Leavenworth 10 is in the United States and Canada. And these are soldiers that have been convicted of so-called war crimes for doing what they are trained to do, and that is soldiers and to annihilate the enemy. And Leavenworth 10, we're familiar with Michael B. Hanna, Corey Claggett, so on and so forth. Soldier A is England's counterpart to the Leavenworth 10. So, Michael, there you go. Go ahead.
Okay, this particular Royal Marine was part of 42 Commando, which is a pretty fierce and tough group of Royal Marines. He was in Helmand Province, and there was a helicopter attack. So a firefight ensued, and this particular Taliban was shot. He had already been shot once. Now, you know, the big problem here is that the people that make these decisions have never been to war. They've never been on the battlefield. And most of them haven't even served a day in the armed forces. So they're out of touch with what soldiers and Marines have to deal with, especially in a barbaric backward country like Afghanistan, and the things they see. For example, one of the guys in his unit had been killed by a IED, and the Taliban took some of the limbs that were blown off of this Marine, this Royal Marine. They hung them in a tree. Now, these
That's
are the
right.
kind of things that these guys are they're exposed to, all kinds of horrific things. And, you know, these guys are tighter than anything on a civilian level, as, you know, find of friends or family members. You know, it's a brotherhood that surpasses all brotherhoods.
It certainly is, Michael.
So one of their brothers gets killed by one of these Islamist jihadist scumbags.
Yeah.
It's understandable that they're going to be furious and disgusted. Now, of course, the enemy has no rules. They don't wear a uniform. So, therefore, they're not entitled to the Geneva Convention. But
that's right.
Good point.
Political,
that's good
yeah,
point.
Political gutless cowards in the United States, in the UK, don't see it that way. So they feel that these low-life subhuman scum should be accorded some type of rights and so-called civil treatment. Well, you know, that shouldn't be the case at all. Anyway, back to what happened. So there was a firefight, and the Taliban in question, who's now dead, was shot once, and they were able to get a hold of him. And from what I understand, he was shot a second time by this Royal Marine.
Oh, hang on. We've got Tommy back, but we're getting some feedback here.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hang on a sec. Okay. I had to put Tommy back on hold. Sorry, Tommy,
yeah.
honey.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Michael. Carry on. I'm sorry about that.
Sure. That's okay. So that's more or less kind of the circumstances that surrounded what took place here. And, of course, what the Royal Marine did is he did his job, and the job is on the battlefield is to kill the enemy. He did. And, you know, whether this Taliban was in their custody and had been so-called captured, I don't really think is relevant, because most people don't know, but what's been going on in Afghanistan is that our forces, whether U.S. or British forces, would capture these subhuman people, because that's what they are, Taliban, and then turn them over to the Afghan army, you know, or Afghan authorities, and days later it wouldn't be uncommon for them to be released. So, you know, these guys go back out into the battlefield and, you know, they continue
yeah.
their jihad. And, you know, what can they do is they can kill another one of our forces out there. So because of the atmosphere in England and in America, guys like this who've done their job, instead of being commended for it, they're prosecuted, and it's a disgrace. It's outrageous that he's been dragged
to
this proceeding.
I think we all echo that sentiment, Michael. You know, we all feel that
Before we move on, because Michael is bringing up some very excellent and salient points for the chat room, because the chat room is very appreciative, Michael, of your explaining to the chat room exactly what Soldier A
yeah,
is.
Thank you,
but
Michael.
I have something right here, and this was sent from our very own Martin Hive, and this is for the Marine A, and this is the rally that would be taking place tomorrow. So I just want to play it
yes.
right now for you.
Thank you, Carol. That is absolutely awesome. Thank you very much.
You bet.
The British soldier, known as Marine A, is now facing a long prison sentence that will ruin his life and the lives of his family. Marine A is now facing a long prison sentence for doing his job and fighting the people and the ideology that want to see our way of life destroyed and replaced with theirs. Marine A is now facing a long prison sentence and he is being used by our politicians to try and cover up the mistakes that they themselves have made. If you are angry about the way our government and our politicians are treating Marine A and all our troops, then come to Downing Street on Friday the 6th of December and show your support for Marine A and for all our British troops.
I'd like to thank Kel for playing that, and of course Martin for that promo there as well. Thank you very much.
Forever grateful to Martin Hive. This man is quite a team player with the English Defence League radio show, and
he is
instrumental in helping us get the word out. So, ladies and gentlemen, yes, if you can be at 10 Downing Street tomorrow afternoon, please be there.
Please, yeah. Yeah, because a soldier's going to spend it's going to be sentenced, and it's going to be quite a substantial time. So show your support for Soldier A and our military, that it could be other soldiers like Soldier A himself that this situation could happen to. And I think, as I say, down to cowardly politicians and the... And let's call it the MOD, to actually bring it as well. And I've got to say, isn't it about time they've done away with these bloody stupid cameras on top of their helmets when they're going into battle or when they're in any situation like that? Isn't it about time that the wars that we fight are fought without cameras on top of your helmets, and so that can be used in evidence against you when you are doing your duty, and it's used, and you will go to prison for it.
They're keeping an eye on our military. Yeah, they're keeping an eye on the ally to make sure that they're not harming a little hair on the head of a jihadist. Isn't that lovely?
As I've often said before, and I think Michael, I think yourself, and Tommy, I think we all agree that it seems so unfair that our military have got to fight this politically correct war with one arm tied behind their back, basically, and only shoot when you're shot at. You know, and this sort of scenario is absolutely bullshit. I mean, for goodness sake, if you fire back once they've fired you, one of your colleagues, one of your brothers in arms could be laying dead beside you. If you see the enemy, I would always say, engage the enemy. That's it. You know, you're in a war scenario, you should be able to do what you're paid to do, and that is to neutralise the bad guys and then come home. You know what I mean? That is the job. Instead of this politically crap that we keep seeing our poor military being under the strain and pressure. It's wrong, and we'll all say it's wrong. That time we had some serious changes in that direction, and I think a lot of our listeners would agree with us on that, because it's so wrong. We've got so many good people that have been banged up. What for? Doing their jobs.
Yeah.
Kill the bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? They would. I'll tell you what, the human rights that afforded, if a soldier is caught by these Taliban, they will skin them alive. That is the human rights issue with the Taliban. There's nothing, they don't even know what human rights is. They want to make you suffer as much as possible. Even sort of boil you in oil. Things like these people are totally evil. Why should we ever afford the human dignity to them? They don't do it to our lads or the lasses. That's quite, the case. It does make me very, very angry. Is that we got people out there who are telling these our brave heroes that you only engage them when you're shot at. And this isn't just for the British, this is the Americans, this is the Canadians, this is what's happening in the military these days. This isn't the way that war should be fought. You fight a war, You go in, you neutralize your enemy, and you come out. And that's the thing, isn't it? A victory, and then you clean up, you sanitize the air, and then you're back home. That's the way that wars should be fought. I don't know your views, Kel, and of course, Michael. How would you guys feel about that?
I think it's about time that for one that we leave the United Nations, because they are acquiescing to Heinz 56 plus one, which is Heinz 57. The Islamists are creating quite a bit of global damage on the world, like on the policies that they want to implement. And I always come back to 1618. And their Cairo declaration, in that very simply, they're trying to fight terrorism, and they are very quite. This is the OIC, by the way, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, in that they do want to combat terrorism, but people don't understand.
I would say that.
Oh God, yeah. And I devoted an entire episode on the Red Fox blogger to this, in that I talked about the Cairo Declaration in 1618, in that, it looks really, really good in MSM, in that, oh, look at that, we got Muslims that want to combat terrorism, but what people don't realize is that they're penning it under the framework of Sharia law. And the terrorist is actually us, the infidel. So I think the UN is something that has got to be dumped into the East River. That's the first I would do. Another thing that I would like to see happen is, of course, that we recognize that Islam is not a religion. It's a political ideology with a smattering of religion thrown in there to make it look all pretty and nice, and we know that's not the case. We're seeing the civilization jihad being carried out in the United States, in Canada, in Britain, in Australia, all over the West. So if we can get rid of Islam being protected, it's a religion. Technically, Islam is a religion, but we know it's not. So if we could find a way for them to lose their protected status, and that would also include their tax-exempt status, I think we would make a lot of inroads that way as well. And the third thing I would like to see happen is that we shut down the mosques and the madrasas. And I don't mean just shut down the mosques and the madrasas. I mean that if there is any criminology against our allied, and especially our troops, as we're seeing what's happening with Soldier A and Leavenworth 10, we take a mosque and we don't just shut it down. We bulldoze it and we turn that real estate over
raise
to a
it
Christian
to the ground, as they say.
Entity.
Yeah, raise it to the ground.
Shut them, get rid of them. Shut them down, get rid of them.
Yeah.
And I'll let Michael have his thoughts.
We all feel that way. This is what they should do. And, you know, what I would go as far as saying, to outlaw this cult. You know, I don't care what people want to, you know, they use the word religion. I can't look at it as being a religion. It's an ideology masquerading as a religion. You know,
absolutely.
That's all it is, really. And I do believe, my own thoughts is it should be outlawed, or put it on trial for crimes against humanity. How many people died at the hands of these Muslims over the centuries, over 1400 plus years, 200, 300 million? That's a lot of people have died because of this horrible, disgusting cult of theirs. And I've got no time for these people, you know, because their mindset is totally different from the Western civilized people. That is the trouble. I'll tell you what, guys, now here's a thought for you. If you took out the Islam from the what we have, the problems in the world, we'd only have about 15% of the world issues, which we could easily resolve. But we've got 90% or something or other of the problems that we got globally is Islamic related. And that is a fact, ladies and gentlemen. That is a fact that what we got out, it is a global jihad. Whether you like it or not, we are in a war with these people. And they want to win this war. We got to stand and fight against it. You know, there's no way we will ever surrender to these people. You know, every drop of blood we will spare to stop these people ever getting their evil way. Because that's all it is, pure evil. You would agree, Kel. I know Michael would agree. I know Tommy would agree. And, of course, most of the people in the chat room would agree. That it's an evil ideology, a cultish, satanic almost. If you look into the crown of it, you notice, you know, that there's so many times that the 666 is mentioned in that book. And there's lots of things that lead that you know. You know that the way it's been taught that it is an evil book. It is evil, pure evil, ladies and gentlemen. And anyway, I've had my say on that. I think most people know my views on that point. I don't know how you feel, and Michael, on some of the points.
Oh,
I've been
bet Michael has a thought here he'd like to share.
I was going to say, I was wondering, me and Kel, we had a little discussion a little while ago, and I just noticed a little message there. Should we play that tune, you know, what we said we was going to do, Alan's song? Should we, Kel?
Absolutely. I think that's a good idea.
Actually,
we're at the bottom of the hour, and
yes,
I want to hear
yes.
what Michael has to say. I want to expand on this because it's a fascinating discussion. And but
yes.
yeah, you're
yes.
at the bottom of the hour, Jeff, and you have to call back in anyway.
Okay,
but
for
the latecomers that are here now, that we lost a patriot this week, and his name is Alan Pierce. And
yes,
he was a very, very wonderful counter-jihadist as well. He left a legacy. He did not sit down and take things lying down. He stood up, and he saw the threat of Islam, and he spoke about it. And he was very active in the English Defense League. He was particularly close with the Christian Defense League, and we lost him this week. We're very, very sad for that. And there's a slide of a picture of him up there. Rest in peace, Patriot Alan Pierce. And on behalf of the... You betcha, Jeff. And on behalf of EDL Radio, Alan, this is for you.
God bless you, Alan.
And there you go.
Thank you very much, Kel. Well, I've just refreshed my page and I've lost a couple of people. Oh dear.
And just to let you know that Tommy had to leave because the Skype was so bad for him. And Tim Burton, he was trying to get here as well, and Skype was acting up on him. That's why Tim's not here today as well.
Oh, that's very sad lot that we haven't got Tim and Tom. I'll get confused. Tim and Tom.
Oh, and we also lost Sue from New Mexico because her Skype was acting up as well.
Oh dear! Come on, Skype, sort yourselves out, guys. It's so frustrating when that happens. I know, Mark, it's been mucking about with me a bit as well, Kel. I don't know how things have been on your end, but it's been a bit of a pain this evening. But, ladies and gentlemen, as I say, the show will always continue. Show must go on. And, we continue, even though we have technical issues, Skype, this, that and the other, but it's so important that, we do carry on. As I say, there's a day tomorrow that people will be at Downing Street. So if you can, take a little bit of time, one day out of your life, ladies and gentlemen, be there to show your support for this soldier, right? And to point a finger at the Cameron and the Cleggs and those people to stop messing about and with our soldiers' lives and do something positive instead of all this crap that we have all the time. It's not fair. It's not right. So this is the thing we really wanted to talk about this evening. But as I say, we had, as I say, the sad. Hearing sad loss of Alan, that's been the forefront of our minds, and there's been two main issues. That's what we wanted to discuss this evening, didn't we, Kel? And also, we did want to let people know that if you want to start ordering any of your bits, your hoodies or your baseball caps, your T-shirts and all the goodies that you normally do, that's running this week as well. And we did say it would be up and running within 48 hours, and that was the case because I had a big thumbs up from Ivan, and then I passed a little bit of information along to Kel, and that's what we've been talking about this evening as well, haven't we, Kel?
That's
so,
right. And something before we move on, I want Michael to expand on his point he was making before we went to break. But just to there's a meet and greet going on in Alford, Lincolnshire, and Jeff, please forgive me and these wonderful people if I get this wrong, but it's a meet and greet and it's a Skegness EDL division.
Skegness, guys. That's it, Skegness. So
thank
there's a
you,
meet
Jeff.
And greet at Skegness. Did you want to expand a little bit on it at all, Kel?
For all Jeff's listeners, there is a meet and greet with the Skegness EDL division, and that will take place this Sunday, December 8th at 12 p.m. at the Windmill Hotel in Alford, Lincolnshire. So if you guys can be there, if you're in the area, please join the EDL. Join the division, the Skegness ED. Jeff, help.
Meet and greet.
Skegness meet and greet. What I did is that when I wrote it down, Jeff, I can't read my own handwriting, and so I'm very embarrassed by that. I have the worst penmanship in the entire universe. I really do.
I write like a doctor.
It's unfair, though, to these fine folks that are going out of their way to get a message to you that, yes, the Skegness EDL Division, Sunday, December 8th at 12 p.m. at the Windmill Hotel in Alford, Lincolnshire. So please, if you're in the area, go there and meet some fellow patriots.
Meet some really good people. I've met some of the Skegness people. They're good people. And if you want a good afternoon, I guarantee That will be the place. Skegness is the place to be. If you're not too far, and it's just a quick little drive, please do. Go and meet some really good people, you know. And, you know, as I say, and I know you'll have a great, great day. And sometimes they have raffles and they do some great things, you know, the meet and greets. I love the meet and greets. Not too many that I've missed, you know. I think I've missed one this year. One was at Lowestoft, and I just found about it at the last moment, and I wasn't feeling. I'd been a bit under the weather, and I knew I wouldn't be up to, you know, sort of doing any sort of travelling and such, so I couldn't quite make it. But I guarantee the next one, if we got one close by, we'll be making that. But as I say, we've got Christmas coming up soon. Won't we? My goodness me. All of a sudden, last year's Christmas, and it seems it's here again. It's that quick it's gone this year. It's been amazing. Especially for the EDL and that, isn't it? What a year.
And Jeff, you know what? I'm doing this completely on my own, but you just brought up that Christmas is around the corner, and yes, it is. As a matter of fact, it's creeping up on us very fast. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to give the best Christmas present ever, go to our merchandise store at http://www.ebay.co.uk and go to the EDL promotions and buy your loved one a T-shirt or a coffee mug or... Jeff, I'm terrible.
Please do. No, we're doing it shamelessly.
Yeah. Oh, and the link is right there in the show highlights, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
get your shopping in.
Check it out, guys.
Come on.
Every penny helps our cause. If what can you do for the EDL? Well, you can buy a T-shirt. You can maybe do a little bit of writing for it. You know, that's what you can do, and it all helps what we do. Anything we get is really, really appreciated. As you know, we're not sponsored like the UAF. Every man and woman, working people, put their hands in their own pockets. They travel, like young Tommy travels the length and the breadth of this country out of his own pocket. There's no funds, nothing like that, guys. We're not like the UAF, who's sponsored by Dave Cameron and his cronies. You know, we're just, we go somewhere, we maybe have to save a couple of bob to go and that sort of thing. So anything you can help, please do. You know, it's, any pound, whatever you want to do, it's really appreciated, and it helps us fight the scourge, is what Kel says. I like that word, scourge. It must be added to our dictionary, Kel.
Yeah.
It's got to be added to our dictionary.
We're going
to
make millions, Jeff. Millions,
yeah, exactly.
I tell you. Millions.
We're going to make millions.
It's true.
Next year, Wadney.
No, I mean, these folks go out of your way, ladies and gentlemen, to protect the legacy of what our soldiers built for us to create our great democracies. And they go out of their way, and they go out of their day to be your voice and to let you know that there is a threat out there. The Islamic scourge is there. It's in your face. And the English Defense League is not shy about definitely sharing with you what's going on out there. Right, Jeff?
And yes, and maybe we might be coming down your road. Who can tell? If you've got a problem where in the area you are, and the division leaders think that it's appropriate, and our ROs think you possibly have, maybe a regional demo, or if it's, there's something that really needs to be out there, we'll call for a national. So guarantee, if there is a situation where you live, you guarantee that we will come down your road. You know, we make
that's
that a promise.
Right.
And we get so much support from people where we go, Kel. I've often spoke about it, and it's always very humbling, to see so many people who know and really look forward to seeing us there. And it does make you feel, yes, We're here for a reason. We're here for you. And
that's
what
right.
I think the message goes out to everybody who might be suffering from this, these issues with
yeah.
the Islamic
and
problem that we've had.
Oh, Jeff, I'm sorry. I stepped on you. But before the feed moves away from me, the chat room is quite busy. So before the feed moves away from me, I just want to share. Well, first of all, I want to thank Jean Prigg. She's going to see if she can find a mug just for me, a fox mug.
Oh, bless.
A fox on a mug. So, Jean,
go.
Thank you. Love you. But what Lion 021 said, how many nations are suffering from Islamic infiltration? One, a handful, nearly every nation. The Islamic leadership, quote unquote, of the Muslim Brotherhood and others wish to dissolve each nation's sovereignty and replace it with the global imposition of Islamic law. And absolutely. And this is why the English Defense League is here, is because that is what it's combating. So support your English Defense League.
Yeah, please do, guys. This is what we call, you know, the time, we've often said it, how many times have you heard me say this, guys, you know, the time for thinking about shouldn't I? Yes, you should. You should take part in what we're doing. Anything to help, you know, is really appreciated. And don't forget, you are doing it for the future. You know, what we do today is we are trying to protect future generations. And sometimes we've got to stand up and be counted. So that's all we call for you. Every time I do a show, it is a recruiting drive for the good people like yourselves. You know, who might be sitting on the fence for a little while. You've seen things happen, guys. Come on. You know, what we say to you isn't we're not trying to, you know, throw any misconception out. It is a credible threat. It's happening now, and it's about everybody coming together. We've got a foe out there that we need to defeat. They needs to be seen to be defeated. Let's have peace in the world then. That's how we'll get peace in the world. When the Muslims say Islam is a religion of peace, that's a total misconception. That is a lie, because it is not. It is all about war. It's all about substitute. It's about subjugation. It's a total evil entity which has to be defeated. Slowly but surely, we are picking the pace up. And we will defeat this. It might take us a while, but guarantee there's a lot of people who's woken up globally to this threat. It's happening to them. You know, you look in places like Dearborn, what happened there? Reuben Israel, being stoned, him and his Christian followers, being stoned for preaching a Christian faith.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
In an American town. It was disgraceful, and that's something I'd like to amount again.
I want to ask Michael a question, and I'm going to tie it in with a comment, and then I want Michael to take this away in a moment, and that it is the English Defense League, but you know what, ladies and gentlemen, it's a global movement as well. Because of the English Defense League, there are chapters worldwide. We have Defense League in Canada, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, as far away as China, Indonesia, in the Netherlands, all over Europe, all over the place. And it's because of the work of the English Defense League, because of the grassroots work that they do, in that we are all globally connected. And listen to this radio program. Today, for example, what do we have? We have an Englishman. We have a Canadian. We have an American. We are all connected. We are all in this together, and we will not surrender ever. And Michael, you do so much work for the troops in the United States. And what you do, Michael, is just my hat goes off
phenomenal.
To you, Michael.
I'll give God the credit for that, but I appreciate your comment. And we have to support the men and women that, you know, defend our freedoms. It's one of the first requirements of a true patriot of any nation to do that, especially when they're out there fighting the same enemy that perpetrated 9/11 and, of course, the attack in the UK in the underground and, you know, the bus and all that and all the other Muslim terrorist attacks that have taken place going back 20, 30 years or more in the West. But I do want to get back just for a minute to two things I just want to say quickly about this Royal Marine that I think is very important. He had done three previous tours in Iraq and two tours in Afghanistan already. You know, one tour in a war zone is one hell of a thing to deal with, but, you know, to do multiple tours, and it's very common that British forces or Canadian or American have gone through this, and it takes a toll on you. In addition to that, within his unit, 42 Commando, they suffered seven KIA, seven killed, and over 40 seriously wounded. So these are all important factors that should be taken into consideration when he's sentenced. I mean, it should have been taken into consideration when he was on trial, but, you know, the people that are in charge of these things in, you know, our respective countries, they don't care. They're just politically correct, gutless, spineless cowards, and they wouldn't last a day in Afghanistan without having a nervous breakdown. So
I agree.
Yeah,
and this is what we often talk about, that when our military return from these from Helmand and places like that, that they are, you know, shoved at the back and, okay, you can get on with your own devices. And a lot of these people really need to be counselled. We've often spoke about this on the show, that they don't get the help and the support that they should be well truly deserved. And that is the case. And this is why a lot of our soldiers, they've suffered some hardship because of the way that, you know, they're not being understood, that they've seen some things that, you know, the nightmares are made of. I think you would agree with that, Michael. They've seen some things that they don't like. A soldier doesn't really want to talk about what happens and that, because it's too raw. There's certain things that he's seen or he's had to do that makes it really, you know, I know some of my closest friends even have nightmares now. And I'm thinking of my dear friend Army. He still has nightmares about some of the things. He never likes to talk about it. I hope you don't mind me mentioning it, Army, but it's so true that some of our brave heroes out there suffer so much, and they never was given what they was afforded, you know, what should have been afforded to them, you know, a great honour to the country, what they did, you know, and they should be well looked after. And that's something I really would like to push for things to change in our nations, the way that our military are treated when they return home. I don't know if you agree with me, guys, but I do think it's so, so important that we would really put some pressure on these politicians to change things for these heroes of ours returning home.
Well, yeah, I can tell you from someone who's been in a lot of military hospitals in America and met scores of wounded Marines and soldiers that American politicians don't go visit these guys and some women. They did a few years ago, but they more or less have stopped, and they just don't care. There is support in the States from individual organizations, you know, kind of like nonprofit organizations, and they do a lot of great work. But as far as the government is concerned, you know, our Veterans Administration, I'm sure the same thing exists in the UK and possibly in Canada. You know, they're not stepping up and doing the right thing. They send these men and women off to war. Number one, they don't allow them to fight. So you don't send someone on the battlefield, and these people are trained to kill. And war is not polite. It's not pretty.
No.
There's nothing nice about it. It's brutal. It's graphic. It's extreme. So, people that fight on the battlefield, sure, they see these things. And I know a lot of combat vets. I have a lot of close friends who are combat veterans. You know, and they carry this with them for the rest of their life. So if they don't come back physically wounded, they come back wounded in their mind, and they carry this
in
with them.
In their mind. That's
so,
what I was going to say, Michael. I mean, you know, we've got a great man here, Army, who's sitting. He says 40 years he suffered. And as you were saying that, he said war is savage. And it is so true that people don't seem to realize what our military has to, you know, put up with. And, you know, coming home and, you know, trying to get into some sort of civil life with, you know, having these horrible nightmares. Like I know my dear friend Army, he still suffers, I know, because we often used to talk about it. And as he said, if you've not seen it there, you've got no idea. And that's what I would agree with that sentiment. Because we don't know. Being civilians, we don't see what our military see, do we, Michael and Kel? That's the truth of the matter.
No, it has an effect on the human psyche, you know, and on your whole life. And it's something that, as you said, civilians don't understand. I come from a background where I had my father served in the Army, and I got involved with the American military and the Wounded Warrior Cause 5 years ago. So I'm fortunate to have learned an enormous amount. So I would hope other people would take some time. You can go on the Internet and you could just do your own research and kind of get an idea what these men and women go through. It's just enormous.
Yes.
And they deserve our eternal and undying, you know, love, respect, and support. That's the bottom line. And, you know, especially being the kind of wars we're fighting, you know, in Iraq and in Afghanistan, the kind of enemy, the brutality of the Islamic jihadists.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to touch on that for a minute.
They are
pure
evil, aren't they, Michael? That's
what
I mean.
What they would do if they... Sure. They were able to abduct some American service members in Iraq. I don't know if they were able to do that to any British or Canadian, but they did, and they did the most brutal things to them. So when you hear about this Royal Marine being persecuted, and we had some, we have the Leavenworth 10, plus we had some Marines in America, it was a famous story. They peed on a couple of dead Taliban.
Yeah,
and, of course, they wanted to crucify them.
Yeah, that was a big story. And you see,
this
is what I'm saying about cameras being, in war scenarios as such. You know, if there wasn't somebody there taking pictures of what they did, and it wouldn't have been exposed to the world, because as we know, it was just went viral, and all hell was let loose, wasn't it, because of this. And that's what I'm saying. You know, when we fight these wars, there should be no cameras there to, you know, capture this, that, because it can be used in evidence against you. This is the times that we live. As I say, we live in a politically correct world, and this is the way that politically correctness works, and it does affect our military big time, which we all know. I've just got to just mention something, what Gene Briggs is saying. I'm taking my camera, so I'll put up some pictures for you, Kel, tomorrow night. So there you go, Kel. I don't know if you saw it.
And just to let you know that Gene, that's actually Eric. He signed into a relative's account by mistake, and so he's here with Gene. But that's actually our very own Eric Kyle. And he's going to the demo at 10 Downing Street tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, God bless you, bruv. God bless you. As I say, good to see that you support there, and hopefully many, many other people. If you're listening out here, guys, come on, you know, let's see you there, you know, and hopefully we'll get some serious numbers. Let's make them, because don't forget, tomorrow, I mean, Cameron should be in 10 Downing Street. Let him know the way that we feel. So as many people as possibly, please turn up, guys, if you're not too far away or whatever. Don't forget, a soldier is, he's going to spend a bit of time in, you know, quite a bit of time, and his family's going to suffer as well. We've got to seriously think about these aspects, and now that this
I have a question.
The call, yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Has there been a fund set up to help his family financially? And if there has or is going to be, I would like to donate to that fund. So,
well,
maybe
someone
in EDL can find out.
I'm not sure, because I was talking to Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I can give that a bit of information a little bit later on. But I'll be in talks with Ivan, and hopefully I'll have a chat to Glenn about this, because I know it's very close to their hearts. They've been in touch. Well, as you know, Glenn's been in touch with the family, and he's been in contact with Soldier A. He's been writing. So, I will be in touch with them both about this, with the funds being set up. And if it has been set up, if we've got a website for it to... for donations, I will keep you informed, Michael. Okay. I'll keep you
Please
informed
do. You know, that's a great irony here, because at the same time, right now, of course, you know, the trial for the two subhuman Islamic scum that slaughtered Lee Rigby. So, you know, here on one hand we have this situation, and then of course we have this Royal Marine who completely a great travesty and injustice has been perpetrated on him, and we can only pray for him and his family members as they move forward a difficult time. And then, of course, the murderers of Lee Rigby, who are probably getting a lot more rights than they deserve.
Yeah, that is the case, isn't it? And it's the irony of it is all, isn't it? That gets us. I know it gets you, Michael, and it gets me and most people. The way that they've been treated, you know, with respect. I mean, they don't deserve any respect whatsoever. These were Quranimals. These were jihadists. Guys, they don't care who they kill, these people. You could be walking. You could be out with your family, couldn't you? And they would think nothing
setting
a bomb off and doing these evil atrocities upon our citizens. You know.
I'm just spitting nails, Jeff and Michael. Like, I'm just furious about this. And what Michael said is that they're being afforded our Magna Carta. The Islamic world, we would be, we wouldn't even be facing a trial. And Reem, a soldier in the chat room earlier, he was talking about the audacity of the statements, in particular from Michael Adebolajo. And the things that this piece of crap is spouting is just unbelievable, and how he goes on. And I've got an article in front of me here, actually. And what did Adebolajo have to say? He angrily pointed at his interviewers and demanded that their questions should be framed to benefit Lee Rigby's family and ensure the safety of the British people. He claimed to have been sickened by the triviality of some of the questioning the jury of 8 men and 4 women were told, because when they were interviewing him, he was trying to express that it brings him little joy to slay people. And there was a forensic psychiatrist named Tim McInerney that said that Mr. Adebolajo was fit to be questioned and had shown no remorse and was keen to talk about what had happened. This guy was just unbelievable. Like, he slays Lee Rigby, and then he wants the questioning to benefit Lee Rigby's family. This guy is, in our Western eyes, this guy is a sociopath. But he compared a British soldier to a common man, usually working class, who mistakenly thinks he is serving his country by going to a Muslim land and committing mass murder. Oh, for God's sake. He berated the eloquent men who he said developed oratory skills in institutions such as Eton and Oxford University before going on to use it for evil. Mr. Adebolajo, he said he was particularly disgusted by David Cameron and the Miliband brothers and what's-his-name Nick Clegg, and berated the wickedness of former Prime Minister Tony Blair, who he said used the magic of the tongue to dodge very important questions. He compared the House of Commons to a boys' club and said the practice of politicians gathering to pay tribute to soldiers who died in Afghanistan was disgusting. And he said that he struggled to sleep at night because Britain was associated with the murder, pillaging, and rape of innocent people in Muslim countries. In these lands, there are soldiers of Allah. Allah encouraged them to kill anybody who takes it upon his or herself to come to that land wishing to rape, to steal, to pillage.
Mm.
What a pig.
It just shows the mindset of these people, though, doesn't it, Carol? It shows you what they're all about. You know what this... go ahead, Michael.
This is total depravity. I think that's a good way to identify it. These people are devoid of... That's why I call them subhuman, you know, and it's not extreme way to label them. They are subhuman. They're not human, and they should be treated as such. The best thing to do, really, is because they have a fear of defilement, which would interfere with their being united with Allah. And, of course, there are different ways to embark on that. But it's just outrageous. And people do need to wake up. In every Western nation on the face of this earth, something has to be roused in them, and they have to wake up because we are at war. Literally, it's an ideological war. There is a spiritual dynamic to it, and there is a very physical
I would agree
aspect
with that.
Of this. Yeah, so we have three things happening here.
We've often said that, though, Michael, haven't we, that people need to wake up. And so, you know, I'm also pointing fingers at politicians. You know, this is a global jihad that we've got before us. And I think they're well within the time zone of doing or trying to achieve what they want to achieve, which is world domination. If we don't stop them, it's quite obvious that the way that demographics work, it's a slow. You know, these people have even said, "Well, we've got time. We've got time, and we've got the demographics. You know, we can slowly but surely. Then we don't have to fire a bullet." Because we'll you know, sort of mass invade the country as such, like they have done, and slowly but surely they will become a minority, becoming a majority. And I think something really needs to be done right now to stop them in their tracks of their endeavours of what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, I was just getting a little message. Ladies and gentlemen, I was going to say, Kel, I'm okay for time, actually. Kel was wondering if I should recall it, but we can take a little break. But I was wondering, when we come back, because some of the things, as you say, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you guys, but there's so many things that we cover on this show, you know, and like we have done tonight. And we do this every show, don't we, Kel? We're not sure what path we might be going down, but you guarantee there's always people. And do you know what I haven't done tonight? Kel, I haven't even read the number of the show for people to call in, even though they probably know it. But I feel a bit rude tonight that we haven't done that. And I'd like to just do this before we go for a quick break anyway. Oh, dear me. Oh, I've got behind a little bit tonight. But, yes, guys, if you are a Blog Talk Radio user and you're a Skype user as well, if you notice on your screen you've got a blue circle with the yes in it, if you left click on that, and if you left click on it and you follow the prompts, you will be asked whether you want to talk to the host or just listen to the show. You'll press one on whatever device that you've got before you. But if you haven't got any of these devices and you're outside of the USA, the number to call in is 001 858 0011-858-777-5934. Repeat, 0011-858-777-5934. So please do, guys. You know, we've got about 20 minutes or so. So if you want to maybe have a quick call in and take a couple of minutes or so, please do. This is your platform, some of the things that I've been talking about, Kel's been talking about, and Michael, maybe there's something you want to talk to our listeners about as well. Please do. So with that, I'm going to pass it back over to Kel. So, Kel, over to you.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. And yeah, we'll be back in a few short moments. And but we do want to remind you that we are all in this together. And I had something right in front of me, and darn it, Jeff, the studio jumped on me. So I'm just going to talk for one more quick moment.
No problem.
Oh, I tell you that if I was an Islamist and I was messing up in the studio, I would probably get
there. Silence! I kill you! Kill you!
Or,
and how true that is.
Yeah, maybe I need this.
Would you care for some tea?
That would be very nice, thank you.
That sounds like Tim, that bit, doesn't it?
Oh, I think so. But
yeah,
I'm trying to find something here. I think actually something by Alex by the Bandits is in order. And
I reckon, yes, that does very much will go down with all our listeners. I think everybody likes Alex and the Bandits.
Okay. Here we go, and we'll see everybody back here in 2 minutes.
There you go, Tom.
Bound to freedom, on the open road to Damascus, away.
The lion!
Done some bird, a penitentiary for nerds, and on.
Alex and the Bandits, Road to Damascus. So I hope you enjoyed that, guys, because we love it, don't we, Kel? So there you go. So welcome back, Michael, and welcome back, Kel. Yeah, I thought I'd quickly call back in just so as I give yourself a little bit of extra time. I was wondering, Kel, before we finish on our last segment of the evening, if you possibly, would you like to do a roll call of our great guests in the chat room this evening, please? Are you there, Carol? It's all gone quiet. Okay, she might be muted actually. But anyway, what I'll do, I've got the thing in front of me, the trumpet blowing. So all I'll say is that stand by your beds. We're going to do a roll call right now. So, Michael, are you there?
I am right here.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't just me just talking.
Oh,
no one could hear me.
I self-muted myself. I'm sorry.
I knew you did that. Kel,
talking away
here. Would you like to read out would you like to do the roll call for the evening?
Oh, I would be absolutely thrilled to do that. And yeah, and my apologies, ladies and gentlemen, I am the self-mute queen.
She self-muted herself for 14 minutes once, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
do you remember that?
For 14. Actually, you know what? It was 14 minutes, and then another time it was 20 minutes. Oh, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, it was absolutely something else. But, yes, it's a roll call, and I wish Tommy were here. I wish the Skype weren't acting up on him because he does roll call so much better than I can ever do justice to it. But
all
let
we're
me doing tell
you. Celebrity, stay by the beds.
I won't be taking any names tonight.
No. But we'll take them another night, won't we, Kel?
That's right. But we do, Jeff, we've had quite a busy chat room. We've had people that have come and gone, but at the top, we have Jeff and myself, and of course that is Jeff Mitchell and Kel Fritzy, and on the line joining us at the top as well is Michael Green. We have Agador joining us. We have Army of British News. We have some guests in the chat room, and we really appreciate you being here, guests.
Really,
please grab an identity, get a name, and join us in the discussion in the chat room. We have Eric Kyle with us, a.k.a. Gene.
Hey, Eric.
We have Lion 021. And Lion is always an asset in any chat room because he puts in links in there that are just absolutely fantastic. We have Paul Alexander, who is a prolific blogger.
Awesome.
We have Poppy from across the sea. She lives too far away from me. We have Reem Soldier with us. We have Stealth with us. We had people come in. We had people leave. We had Vito Esposito here a little earlier, but he had to go off to work. And I'm thrilled to tell you that Sue from New Mexico, fortunately, is able to join us on the line. And, of course, Jeff and myself, we always want to thank you all that listen in archive as well, and we know that you do, and we appreciate that very much. Right, Jeff?
We most certainly do, Kel. You know, it's, what can we say? We know that you listen to our archives because we check, don't we, Kel? And so we know. We've been amazed. Kel, haven't we been amazed? We've been looking. We've got a little graph that shows our listeners and that, and it's just going up all the time. We're in ascendancy, ladies. The East Anglian ZDL radio show is in the ascendancy. We've never sort of stayed in one position, have we, Kel? We have been rising and rising. It's the things that we talk about that is so important for you, our listeners out there, that don't get the unbiased, the true feedback of the people on the ground. The way that it affects the people who live around these enclaves of the Islamic societies. But we do. We have our dear friends and members that has to put up with this situation. So, of course, that is that this platform, this radio show, has given everybody the voice that maybe, a little while ago they wouldn't have their voice, but this is your platform. We've all said that, haven't we, Kel? We've all said this is your platform.
Oh, yeah.
And we welcome all calls. You know, please call in if you need something to speak about, if you've got a meet and greet, anything like that, please call in. Please call in. Let's hear you guys, you know, other division leaders, you know. We want to take your calls, guys, and maybe you tell us a little bit about you, what your division's doing, this and that. We want to hear from you. So there you go, guys. As I say, this is your platform. We've also said that. So with that, Kel, back to you.
Well, we're down to our last 10 minutes, and Reed Soldier wants to know what's on the agenda for tomorrow's program. And I was actually talking with Tim Burton via texting earlier today. And he sent a very interesting article, and Tim Burton, he'll probably be back here tomorrow. Like I say, his Skype was acting up. But
yes,
he sent me this very interesting article. I think he sent it to you as well, Jeff. And this is Liberty versus Sharia and Why We Must Resist the Vision of a World United Under Islam. I put the link in the chat room just a moment ago, and I have talked about this on the Red Fox Blogger, and Michael actually has joined me there in doing this. I think it was about a month ago, Michael, you were there, and we were talking about the four stages of Islamic conquest and what it means for the West, and from Dar al-Harb to Dar al-Islam the Muslim Brotherhood. And there's a lot of information in here about something people have to understand is that Sharia law is the greatest threat facing the United States. And we actually have politicians in the United States who are liberal politicians who are actually realizing this threat. And they're going on the talk circuits. They're going to the Sunday morning shows like Meet the Press and Face the Nation, and saying that I think we have not really thought this Islam business out quite as thoroughly as we could. We haven't fleshed through the issues of what exactly Islam is, and it's very surprising.
It's good to know that they're
the liberals
about
are coming
out.
Yeah.
They're not just now they're starting to talk, now they know, because it's been so out there that they can't hide from this situation as it is. And you know, maybe it's a new way forward, that we are getting those politicians are actually speaking out. Now, that's what we've called for so long. It's become weary calling for them. So it's about time you've done something. Earn your money. This is what you paid the big bucks for. The things that we talk about on the radio show, you're a politician. You can make the changes. But, you know, you work for us. And so, you know, you should listen to what the public's got to say. And this is a very serious issue. So it's good to know that we have got some of these politicians that have been on the circuit and are now making their voices heard. And more power to them. And more people should take heed and take notice of what these other politicians are doing. And that's what we've been calling for such a long time. Will we see David Cameron? Will we see the Nicklegs change their ways? No, they've got their feet too firmly under, you know, that table where they are. So it will probably need a dramatic change and a shake-up in our British politics before we see those sort of things happen in this country. But we will make it happen. We the people, for the people, you know. Anyway, my goodness me, I've gone on one again. But I don't care what I like.
Oh, goodness, no. And that's the thing, is that if there's a thematic program in the works and that the panelists can take this, for example, if we pre-share an article and we can come to the table armed with our opinions and our insights about it, I think that would be an excellent topic to tackle tomorrow, Liberty versus Sharia. Because there's a lot of anti-jihadist radio programs out there. I'm a counter-jihadist. I'm a professional counter-jihadist. And A lot of people, they come in and they hear about, oh, a bombing over here or something went on over there. And a lot of them are new to these programs, and they don't understand exactly what the ramifications of Islam and Sharia law is. So it's always kind of cool to share further insights and do a little bit more of an edumacation, as it were, Jeff. What do you think?
Edumacation. she stole that from me, Michael. I always say edumacation, don't I? No, nice one, Kel. My goodness. But I've got to say that the time has gone, it's really gone quick this evening again. Kel, once again, thank you so much for being a co-host this evening. Michael, what can I say? It's always a great honour and a pleasure to have you calling in on the show and having your input and some very very interesting things that we've been discussing once again this evening. So, and we'll probably do it again tomorrow night as well, won't we?
we absolutely will.
Guaranteed.
Well,
I'll
be here to speak about the Sharia.
Yes.
If we can expound on the finer points of Sharia.
Yes. Yes, that'd be fantastic. You know, as I say, ladies and gentlemen, you know, sometimes we people say, well, what's the topic going to be for tomorrow night? We never know. We've got topics. There's so many things out there. And we use what's topical. We'll probably be talking about maybe some things that's happened today or what's happened in the week. But we would expand it. And we will also, you know, any future events coming up or something like that. We will be talking, how the little demonstration went down the street tomorrow. We definitely will be talking about that tomorrow night, won't we, guys? So
oh, yeah.
we'll hopefully we might have a couple of people calling in just to say maybe how the day went. So if anybody's going there tomorrow, guys, maybe you'd like to call in the show tomorrow night and we can have a little bit of debriefing of how you think the day went and whether you think that you got your message across to those cowards within Downing Street. So hopefully that is the case. So once again, I'd like to thank you, Kel, and Michael, Mr. Michael Green, for being here this evening. And as I say, we had Tommy, and it was sad, really, because Tommy, yeah, he was having all sorts of issues with the Skype. And we had, you know,
well, it's
that,
all the storms, yeah.
We know the cat never managed to get through the cat flap tonight, Kel, didn't we? Did we need no scratching at the cat flap?
I think we fed him too much cream again.
Have to put some cat litter down again, Kel.
Oh, we have to be careful about that.
Yeah. He claws all his nerves when he's trying to get through that cat flap, doesn't he, Kel? Tim does. He brings all sorts
and,
of things in with him, spiders.
Oh, and the spiders.
Oh, don't.
My goodness.
I know. But no, we've missed him tonight, haven't we? You know, he's always great.
Excuse me.
Oh, I hate this end of the night when my voice starts packing up on me. My apologies to our listeners. But I think we're right down to the bar, aren't we, Kelwyn?
We are. We are down to less than 2 minutes. And
okay.
So I think it's time for all of us to go underground.
Okay, Michael and Kel, thank you both so much, and of course to all our listeners in the chat room this evening. God bless you guys. Thank you for supporting the show, and all the great listeners out there, wherever you might be. We know you listen all across the globe. And I've got a young lady saying, "I've got 90 seconds." So with that, I've got 90 seconds. So with that, Kel. And, of course, Michael, and to everybody else, take care, stay safe, God bless you all, and not forgetting, no surrender, no surrender ever. We'll be back again tomorrow night, and we
no surrender
going.
Ever.
We
Michael and Jeff, have a wonderful evening.
Good night, Kel, and good night, Michael. I at the 66. Here we go. Good night, Kel. Good night, Michael. Good night, Dave.
Good night, Jeff. Love you.
Good night, Kel. Good night, Michael.
People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your voice brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, than the mine. My new deal of tax was for Tommy's wife. And the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing to say to the dust. I'm going underground. Where's the prospect for you? That's the power going underground. Where's the voice of singer? Let the voice of shout for tomorrow. People might get some pleasure as they hate me. I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging green and black. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't waste your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, we're back into archives. Once again, well, it was a fast-moving show tonight, wasn't it, guys? It really moved along very fast tonight. Just a little bit disappointing that Tommy and Tim had issues getting with their Skype this evening, but apart from that, I think the show flowed very well this evening. And I think we put all the things we wanted to discuss out there, didn't we, Kel? I don't think we missed out on anything.
No, I'm glad that we got the demo in at 10 Downing Street in there. And there's a lot that we're going to be sharing in the next little while, Jeff. And it's the EDL isn't going anywhere. It's going to be quite active. It's coming back bigger, badder, faster, better all the time.
It certainly is. You know, you can feel the whole momentum of the organization. It's quickened the pace a little bit, and I feel really positive. Okay, you know, there was a part of the year. You know, we were almost at the end of the. This year, but I still think it was the year of the infidel once again. We said that the year before, because you know, the way we look at it, lots of demonstrations. I've lost count how many, but you know, not just the nationals, but like regionals, and you know, we had these the flash protests. These sort of things was happening up and down the country, the length. Breadth of the country, and it didn't slow down at all. In fact, I think it picked the pace up again
as
we slowly as we come towards the end of the year. Whatever weathers are, people have been out there demonstrating, and I've been so proud of everybody. And then, you know, some nasty conditions, you know, pouring with rain, people end up soaking their skin. But you know what? With them, you know, it just goes to show you how important it is that people, you know, how cold or whatever, it's snow on the ground, whatever, people are still turning up because it's so important to them what they're doing. And that's what it's all about, isn't it, Kel? And, you know, I'm very, very proud to be a part of this great organisation with great people. We meet so many great people along the way on this journey, this counter-jihad journey that we're all covering. I mean, yourself, Kel, in Canada, Michael, in America, and myself in the UK. We've seen so many changes over, well, since I've been doing the show, look at the way that the momentum has picked up. It's just been an amazing journey, and we're just a little way into it. There's a lot more to come, guys. You know, if you're wondering what's coming up, I guarantee, you know, the EDL has got some busy days ahead. Our battle is just at the beginning. If you can look at it as a battle, we are at the beginning of the battles. There's still a lot of work still got to be done. But I know that we will prevail. We will be successful, and there's no doubt about it. I'm a very positive person. Kel knows me very well. I'm very positive, and I know that, you know, that, okay, we at this moment in time, we have got politicians that are not the right calibre, that not the type of people that you want to see leading great nations. But there will come a time when people like the Paul Westerns will come to the forefront and will guide our nations with what needs to be done, and maybe some draconian things need to be put in place, which Tim has often spoke about as well when he's been on the show.
Yeah.
That, you know, sometimes, you know, you've got to be kind sometimes. I think that's a good way to put it. I mean, you agree with that, Kel. Sometimes, you know, you've got to, you know, show them that we will rule you with a fist of iron. If you want to play those games, we guarantee you that it won't be very comfortable for you. And I think that's the only way, because these people are so brutal, that it's the only way that they understand.
Oh,
there's
I
only
agree.
One language
absolutely
that they understand.
That.
Yeah,
that's
there's
correct.
No reasoning with Muslim fascists. It's there's only one way to deal with them. That's the facts. And Islam needs to be stripped of its status as a religion, because that's how it operates. We all know that it gets the protections of a quote unquote religion, and then it infects. The host country,
becomes a protected
like a
species.
Well,
we've often said, Michael, it's like become like a protected species, because they bring in laws that if you contradict Islam, that they can class you as making a hate speech, and it's a sort of a blasphemy law that they're trying to.
Well, it's part of Sharia, you know. That's the
Sharia.
Oh yeah.
You know, you can't.
Correct.
You know, the Sharia does not permit criticism of Islam. As a matter of fact,
no.
We know in Muslim countries, it's people are put to death or certainly imprisoned for for speaking out or anything that's interpreted as being. You know, I was once in a drugstore in America, and I had a conversation with a man who was from a Muslim country. He was Muslim. And it was kind of a cordial conversation, but I made some statements, and he found them offensive. And he actually said that he felt that he would have to harm me if I continued.
Oh,
so
my goodness,
I didn't back down because, nothing happened physically, but I didn't back down. And one thing I've learned is you never show these people, if you ever see them in person, any fear or that you're intimidated because, and you know that, the EDL knows that real well, because you guys are out there in the street, right out there in the trenches, that, you know, that's something you never, ever do.
No.
Because that's one of the weapons that they try to use.
There's a saying that stands in my mind is, we fear no foe. And I think that is the case. Yeah, of course, we know that there are those people out there that want you to bomb us, especially Dewsbury. And we do know if it wasn't for maybe me God stepping in or whatever you want to call it.
The grace of God,
seem,
I think.
I would say in the grace of God go I, you know, that it could have been very nasty. But there you go. It just goes to show you that you know that we are, the work we're doing is definitely affecting them. If they want to try to intimidate us or want to kill us, then you know that what we're doing is a good, you know, is a good job. And we won't. None of us are going to go away. Yeah, it shakes you up. You know that life is precious. Of course it is. It's precious to us all. To Muslims, it's not. It means nothing to them. The quicker they maybe blow themselves up and they get themselves to Jannah, whatever they want to call it. We love life. They love death. This is the negative and positive. We're the positive side of things, and they're the negative side of things. I think that's a good way to round things up, isn't it? Like that, Michael, is that we're the light that shines out there. We're the beacon of light, and they're the darkness
Darkness. Blackness. Yeah. Well, because they're so deceived.
There's
believe
something else. Too,
yeah.
And that Michael will definitely relate to, and Jeff certainly does, I know that, is that we are on the radio waves, and Michael, welcome to the citizen journalism, in that you're a great contributor to the East Anglian EDL radio show, as am
it really
I,
is,
and
yes.
Thank you, Jeff, very much for giving us our platform to be here and share with you.
Well, it's my honor and privilege to have you here with me.
Absolutely, and there are so many other radio programs out there, and people may see us as talking heads, but the thing is that we just don't talk the talk, and Michael says we walk the walk, and we're in a position as people on the radio waves in that we cannot afford to back down. We cannot speak on the air and then, as Michael was relating, walk into a store and kowtow. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Ooh. No, because we have an obligation to you as the listeners in that we're backing up everything we say, and we share that through our actions. Look at Jeff with his involvement with the English Defense League and the rallies. Look at Michael, what he's relating to you, and look at Kel Fritzy and what she does. We really do are... what am I trying to say here? And I want to try to put it succinctly. But we really
are
committed to counter-jihadists.
We do the talk, but we do the walk as well. That's the way to sum it up, Kel. I mean, and also not forgetting our own Tommy, who there's not too many demonstrations that he misses. Unfortunately, tomorrow, he would have been at Downing Street, but because of work commitment, he had no choice, you know, something. But he would normally... be at the front, you know, the front ranks doing what he always does. We've got the great people out there who's, you know, we, as you say, not just talking heads, but we, you know, we do the walk as well as the talk. and I think our listeners know that, and you know, and they appreciate that what we do. That and it just brings them on board with us, doesn't it? We've got so many, you know, new people, new members join all the time, simply because we work very hard with what we've been doing over the years. You know, four and a half years is it now? My goodness, mate! The EDL, the time, it's just been amazing. The journey, seeing it start off as just a little patter of fate, and then it's just it just took off, didn't it, Kel? And it's just been absolutely amazing, and people, as I say, I know, like in India, and people used to talk about the EDL, you know, within India, they know all about us, They're trying to build up a chapter over there of the English Defence League. We had the guy on this. Don't you remember the guy that we had, Anchintia, who's on the show?
Oh yeah, he was fantastic. Had. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's amazing that you know, India, which, you know, there's so many millions of people, that you can get a bit of a platform in India. It's been phenomenal. You can't say nothing else, can we, Kilda? It's been absolutely phenomenal, the journey of what the English Defence League, and as you said, what was said earlier on, that the Defence Leagues all across the globe. It's been amazing, and I'm so proud to be a part of this organisation. But we must not take our foot off the pedal. We must keep our foot firmly on the floor and keep pushing forward until we're victorious with this very serious situation that we've got on a global scale.
And this is the sort of thing that we have to combat. And I get rather sick and tired about the Islamists walking in our midst in the West. And I was actually working on a blog for Ivan, and well, he didn't ask me to. I just took it upon myself to do it because I was asking him what's going to be the theme for the Sleaford demo on January 11th of 2014. So he sent me the link for why the EDL is going to Sleaford, and so I put it in a blog. And I was thinking, you know, these people, or these Quranimals, they come over here. And they're born here, as we're witnessing with the two Michaels who slaughtered Lee Rigby.
Yes.
They're born and raised here in a lot of cases, too. And I was very, very distressed when I came across this soundbite, in that there is a reporter, and she was interviewing Muslims, and she was asking, what do you think of the Lee Rigby killing? And they're in the streets, and I'm looking at them on this YouTube video, Jeff and Michael, and they're wearing the hoodies and the jeans. They're very westernized. They have the Australian accents. And I have the clip right here. Do you want me to play it, Jeff? It's about a minute long.
Yeah, please, Kel.
Okay.
Yeah, please do.
But this is what we're confronting in our host countries. This is what, when the host country is so generous to welcome these people over here, this is how they act.
They come into our country, bomb us, rape our women.
In the western Sydney suburb of Lakemba, the murder of a British soldier has sparked an emotional response, though not quite the one I'd expected.
And then once we start coming up and preparing and start defending ourselves, you start calling us radical.
Hang on. Who are you talking about? Who comes to your country?
Australia, Britain, America, France, Europe.
So do you don't... Are you Australian?
Yeah, I'm Australian.
When you talk about people coming and bombing, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Australian government going to Afghanistan, Iraq, raping our women.
Okay, is your identity to another country?
No, my identity is to Islam.
It's not a country.
It's not a country. It's
my religion.
So my sister's getting bombed and raped.
Okay, so that's what I thought. So yeah. Australia is secondary.
Allah comes first.
Okay.
Islam comes first.
Okay.
That's my religion.
But what shocked me was this. How do you feel about the British soldier? He deserves it. Why does he deserve it?
He's a dog.
Why is he a dog?
You know why he's a dog.
Why is he a dog?
You know.
Why? Why is he a dog? Why is he a dog? No, why is he a dog? Why is that soldier a dog? Huh? How do you feel about it? How do you feel about the British soldier? He deserves it. Why does he deserve it?
He's a dog.
Why is he a dog?
You know why he's a dog.
Why is he a dog?
You know.
Why? Why is he a dog? Why is he a dog? No, why is he a dog? Why is that soldier a dog?
Because he's not a
Muslim. And they walk
that's
around.
Why.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
and they
really,
walk around
he didn't
and
didn't want to say that. What he meant was, because he's a dog, because he's not a Muslim. That's what
yeah.
he really wanted to say, but he thought, no, he thought better. But that's, yes, that's what we're confronted with, ladies and gentlemen, this this mindset of these car animals who have got no sympathy whatsoever of a young man, a young man who's just crossing the street, minding his business in his own country, being mowed down. And we don't have to go into no details, but we know exactly what these car animals did. There's no justification. It was a shock tactic. They wanted to show that this is what can happen once Islam is abound in our countries. And they even threatened, you know, women, their husbands, their this, that. He made all these threats, didn't he, Kel, when he was standing
oh, yeah.
there, that vermin.
You know, the interesting thing is that American and British troops and Canadian troops don't and never did rape Afghan women because, first of
no.
all, Afghan women are not permitted to, they're not permitted to be outside of their house. I don't know if anyone
no.
knows this, but they're not.
Exactly,
when,
Mike,
when,
and a brilliant,
not,
brilliant
not,
point. A brilliant
yeah, well,
point,
not,
Michael.
It,
and when they are allowed to leave the house, they're always in the company of a male relative.
Yes,
yeah,
well,
they're covered
chaperone.
In a potato sack.
Yeah.
They have a burqa on. What do you mean they're raped?
Yeah, exactly.
They're wearing a burqa, a full burqa. You know, it's just the Muslims will always try to look for an excuse to intensify
yeah.
their hatred for the infidel. And the idea that
yes.
the infidel, a Western soldier, you know, soldier, a Marine from a Western nation is on a Muslim land, it's intolerable to them. It's unacceptable because they're fascist. Islam is a fascist, supremacist ideology that has no interest
yeah.
in coexistence. Of course, we all know this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they have to be opposed in every lawful manner, in every way at every corner, you know, all
the
around
word
360
eradicated,
degrees.
Eradicated. I mean, it's extreme.
Yeah.
But it's been used before that you know, to cut a cancer, you need to eradicate it, totally obliterate the whole thing, because it has become like a serious cancer, isn't it? It's become like a large tumor that really is getting out of hand, and it needs to be. You know, let's speak what it should be. We need to outlaw Islam. We need to outlaw their Quran. That's how we stop this scourge that we've been seeing and put them in the place. Let them know that if you do this, we're not going to accept it. We will obliterate you, literally. We've got the manpower. We've got the people. You know, that we can do that. We can droid you. You know, they hate that, the droid. We don't have to use manpower. We can just droid them, can't we? We just, you know, wherever we've got a problem with these people, we just fly the droids over and just take them down. So, you know, if they think that this battle there, that they're going to win this war, they should think twice, because there's so many people committed to stopping them in their tracks, like many of our ancestors have done before in the past. Many people paid with their lives and to protect what we are today, that we've got the freedoms to be able to speak out of these people that are trying to bring death and destruction to our nations and our countries. But oh my goodness, Matt, I just noticed the time. What's it like? We get chatting, don't we, guys? And,
we're getting away. Yeah, I know. But,
I know, it's been absolutely fascinating again tonight. And yeah, we'll see. So I've got to. I do love doing these shows. I know you do, Kel. And Michael, I know you're the same. It's just we've got so much to speak about, haven't we? But so much to talk about. Guarantee, you know, we could speak for hours. If it weren't for my voice drying up on me, I probably would do. I'm good at it. I'm good at talking.
That you are.
You know, Michael, me and Kel sometimes, we've Skyped for hours before. It's actually hours. You know, it's amazing.
Michael, it's terrible. It's like, hey, Jeff, are you up for a quick Skype? I want to go over some of the show notes, and 4 hours later some days.
It's amazing, like, isn't it, Michael?
Well,
it's true.
So we get to talking about the cats and the birds and gardening and cooking and this and that and the other thing. It's just absolutely terrible. I'm teaching Jeff to cook. He's teaching me how to raise birds.
Go on, Michael. You were going to just interject there. Go on, Michael.
No, the enemy is highly... One thing about the enemy, you know, to feed or to properly, you know, engage in combat with your enemy, you have to understand them and you have to study them. Now, they're very motivated. So we have to be motivated, and we have to be motivated more than they are, and organized, because they are organized. You know, there is a certain amount of organization within Islam or Muslim communities, and a lot of them are motivated. They're hyped up on jihad, and they're hyped up on their book of hate and all of that. So we must be highly motivated and let them know that we're not going to be intimidated. And whatever it comes down to, you know, physical death for a Christian is not, I don't fear death. I don't desire it.
No.
But what I do fear is being a coward, and that I will never have any part of. And this is our nation, our respective nations, our way of life, our freedoms, our liberties that were paid for with the blood of our forefathers, and we're not backing down.
No, well said, Michael. I've just noticed, I just actually caught at a corner of my eye, there was some breaking news. Nelson Mandela has died. So just to let you know, guys, I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
I just see it on the Sky News that he's passed away. So there you go. So we knew it was coming close, didn't we? You know, I think he'd escaped death a few times, but sometimes the old Grim Reaper will catch up with you in the end. It don't matter, you can't deny, but he's the Grim Reaper will come and collect you, wouldn't he, Michael?
You know, when God calls, when it's the Lord's time, it's time, and, you know,
it
humans can't alter that.
You can't.
Unfortunately, Muslim, you know, it's interesting that Muslims say we're going to hell, but the truth is, they're going to hell.
Oh, yes,
and they don't want to hear that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
they're the ones who are damned. They're the ones who are following a false prophet and a false god. They're the ones who are doomed. As Christians, we're the only ones that can offer them any form of redemption. And we welcome any Muslim who wants to walk with Jesus and embrace the bosom.
Amen.
The bosom of Christianity
Christ
will
your
embrace
Savior
you.
And wash away your evil, wash this evil away from you, cleanse your heart, and follow Jesus, the Son of God, you know, the Prince of Peace, not the prophet of war and torture, death and destruction, suffering and misery.
Exactly.
That's what God is about. God is a loving God. He's not a God of hate.
No.
Yeah, and if any Muslims are listening out there, believe me.
That would be a good topic.
Yeah, that would be an excellent topic. I think that would be brilliant, Michael and Jeff.
Well, it would be good to have a Muslim call in, and we can have a little – I would challenge a Muslim to a debate on the air on that topic.
I would also like to have a conversation with a couple of apostates, and I know a couple.
Yeah.
And it would be brilliant to have them on because, Muslims, they're damned. They're damned to hell. But Christianity and Jesus will save them. And if there are any Muslims, and if you're listening just because you're a troll and you're getting your jolly kicks, well, pay attention that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he came to earth to cleanse you of all your sins. Renounce this evil, evil entity called Islamism, and do walk into the light and join us, and join us in the glory of God, the true God, and get away from that Sharia, and get away from that garbage. And I just turned Jeff's show into a sermon.
Amen. That's
wonderful.
Okay. No,
very
no,
inspiring.
We don't often talk about, you know, how strong our faith is, but I was nodding with...
Yeah,
with
the thing is, we as
heard.
Christians should feel comfortable and not be concerned. You know, people would think that then, you know, it's just a religious war. Well, whatever it is, we didn't start it, and that's the bottom line. Just like the Crusades, people love to criticize the Crusades, but of course the Muslim Crusades began first, and
that's right.
The Christian Crusades,
that's
Christian
point,
Crusades
yeah,
were just a response to their aggression. So I think we need to interject this because it's a very vital element and aspect of this whole scenario, especially since today, all throughout the Muslim world where there are Christians, they are being slaughtered.
This is the
you know,
thing
Jews
that,
aren't being because
we've often
yeah,
spoke
Jews don't
about,
live in Muslim
Michael,
countries
the,
anymore. They can't. Yeah.
The persecution
so our Christian
of
brothers
Christians.
And sisters are being slaughtered by these subhumans.
Yes, they are.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's very sad when you think about it, the plight of our poor Christian brothers and sisters throughout the world of what they're having to suffer with these. Being at the hands of these evil fanatic, I don't know, they just have no souls, these people, Michael. This is what they're lacking. You know, if they had souls, they wouldn't act as they would. As you say, subhumanly, I mean, you know, even that is, a bit underneath what they really are. You know, they're just pure evil. Sometimes it's you see the look on these people that do these atrocities. It's just, I don't see nothing. I don't see no, look into the eyes of someone who does that. There's no compassion. There's no soul. It's though they're possessed almost. I've often thought of that. I've often thought, are these really possessed people? Do they really understand or comprehend what they're really doing? How evil it is, what an evil it is.
I don't think they do.
But they don't. They don't understand. It's
I don't
their
think
mindset.
They do.
No, they don't.
No, the thing they think they're doing God's service by slaughtering or torturing or maiming or, as I said, killing human beings. And it's interesting because Jesus speaks of this. You know, it's in the New Testament. And I believe it's a reference to Islam because... they do it with such joy, and of course they scream "Allahu Akbar" repeatedly, which means they're giving praise and they're giving credit to God when they would cut the head off a live human being. Now, what other group of human beings on the face of the earth has ever done that?
I don't think
well,
we've
and
ever seen that.
That's a point that was brought up in the chat room as well. How many countries are affected by the scourge? One nation, two nations, a lot of nations? How many Western nations are affected by the scourge? Every single Western nation is at this point.
Yeah,
that's
a very
good
point, Kel. Every nation, this is what we said, this is the plight of us and how we must... push them back. I mean, you know, that our wars used to be fought with the Crusaders going, to battle in foreign lands and that. Our battle now is on in our own neighbourhood, our own cities, our own towns, and it's been helped by our politicians, political correctness. So we are in a the battlefield's the same, but it's just different. It's closer now. It's on our home patch, isn't it? Maybe not quite as bad in America, I would say, Michael, but slowly but surely.
We have the right to bear arms, and you know, so that's somewhat of a deterrent. It's a different atmosphere here, somewhat, but they are on the move. And there are, growing communities. And, you know, you never know when a Muslim's going to become violent.
So that's the thing that we all
that's a
understand.
Very good point.
Exactly,
you don't know any sleepers.
Michael. And I look into the United States and I see what's happening in the higher echelons of your political system. Eric Holder, John Kerry.
Well, our government all of these
players
just as bad
that
as,
are
a
as
your government. Yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know, we have to band together because they're not going to protect us. We're going to protect ourselves,
no.
And we're going to do what we have to do collectively, you know, because that's what we have to do. And the government is not going to be there. Certainly, definitely, we see what's happening in the UK. You know, I think you in Canada. Do you have a very liberal left wing government? I'm not up on that. How would you describe it?
Well, we have, of course, we have the opposition parties. Our current government is a conservative government at this point.
Okay.
Not Reaganist conservative, but conservative
mm-hmm.
all the same in that our immigration and foreign affairs ministers, they're taking a very close look at Islamic immigration in particular, and they're taking a very close look about social policy in foreign lands and warning immigrants that if you come here with these ideologies, you will not you will be kicked out, more or less.
Yeah.
Wasn't it in Quebec where people who work for the province or the state?
Oh that's yet to be passed provincial legislation, but the province of Quebec, yes, they have proposed what they call a values clause, and that is that there would be no overt display of religious symbols, and what they had to do is they had to throw all the religions under the bus, and that includes the Sikhs, the Hindus, the Christians, and
that's
we
right.
all know that this was geared
yeah,
towards
Muslims.
Yeah,
we discussed this before, didn't we, Carol? We've talked about it on
so,
one
so
of the
that,
shows
that,
before.
So that's the end of the hijab, right? Is the hijab gone?
The hijab, the niqab, it would be gone if it does pass
mm-hmm.
legislation, the hijab and the niqab, that business would be gone. You could walk into a government office or a daycare center and not see the hijab nor niqab anymore, or the turban or anything like that. Quebec is a secularist in that. They're getting a little sick and tired of the noisemakers, and so they introduced this values clause under the Prime Minister Moraes, and she is seeing a lot of influx of Islamic immigrants, and they're coming from Somalia, they're coming from Algeria, they're coming from North Africa, they're coming from countries where they speak French. French is essentially their second language after Arabic or the other dialects. Urdu? I don't know if that's the
Urdu
one.
Urdu is Pakistan.
Urdu.
Yeah, Urdu would be Pakistan.
That's right. Thanks, Michael. And Quebec saw an issue with this, and that we're welcoming immigrants, and we want the French.
Well, good for them because
one.
You know, true Christians, we don't need to wear anything on our body to identify ourselves. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with wearing a cross, but it's not necessary. You know, God is indwelling us. You know, the Spirit of Christ is in our hearts. So, what you wear on your body is irrelevant. God is not concerned with your exterior; He's concerned with your heart. And
And Michael and Jeff.
Yeah.
I mean, I could bring up some more stories out of Canada that's going on right now, and that's it involves the case of a Muslima who refuses to testify against her rapist. She accused two family relatives of raping her when she was a child, and she refuses to testify and face her accusers without wearing her niqab. And the niqab, it's not just a hijab, where the hijab
that's
you can
the face
face
veil, sure, the niqab.
Yeah, the niqab is the full face covering, and
okay.
she wants
so
to wear
you
that
know what?
In Canadian sexual
remove her from the country. Okay,
yeah.
If you don't want to conform to our ways, then you need to be removed and go back. You can Take your pick. Pick a Muslim country, and we'll drop you right there. No problem.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And this is costing the taxpayer.
I've got to wrap it up, guys. I hope you don't mind.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up.
Just
to say let me try to bring that up tomorrow night, because this woman is costing
please.
Us taxpayers a fortune.
Yes, Kel, we can expand a little bit on tomorrow night. But I don't want to sort of all of a sudden we'll be in mid-flight conversation and all of a sudden we'll get cut off. But so I better wrap this up. Kel, once again, thank you so much for being here.
Jeff,
once again,
my pleasure.
And
Michael always
a
great,
pleasure. Oh, thank you, Kel. It's a great honor to have you. Part of our great team. And Michael, once again, thank you so much for your input. You're absolutely fantastic to have on the show and a part of our panel as well. But I've better close it up before we get kicked off. So we'll be back again tomorrow night.
You bet.
Okay, Kel and Michael. And you know what I'm going to play tonight, Michael and Kel? I'm going to play us out tonight with This Is Not a Crusade by, of course, Anglo-Saxon. Is it Anglo-Saxon or... It's Anglo-Saxon, isn't it, Kel? This is not a crusade, isn't it? So shall we play that out with This Is Not a Crusade and say goodnight?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Guys, I'll see you
tomorrow night. And thank you so much for being a part of the great team tonight. So with that, for myself, Jeff and Kel and, of course, Michael and, of course, who we had earlier on, our very own Tommy. He's not here because he had problems with his Skype. We'll be back again tomorrow night when hopefully we'll be talking about actually what went on in Downing Street. And if any of you are listening out there, guys, and you're there, maybe you call in and we can have a little bit of debriefing on that as well. So with that, good night, guys. Take care, stay safe. God bless you all. Not forgetting, no surrender ever. And this is not
ever.
Crusade. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Never.
Good night, Jeff, and good night, Michael. I'll see you tomorrow night.
Good night, Kel. I'm not sure if it's going to play or not. It's not playing for me.
Oh, it's not? Okay. Here, let me take a looky.
It's in the T section.
Oh, my goodness, it really wants to scroll, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's done. Sorry about this, guys. You know, just, I pressed the button and nothing happened on me. And I was wondering, Kel, could you end the show for me? Because it might not let me end the show either.
I will... I'm trying to find the darn song. I'm a great producer. Ladies and gentlemen, you may not see me tomorrow night because Jeff might fire me.
No, it's under rest, by the way. It's under rest. If you go down and follow it down, it's under rest. And it's This Is Not a Crusade.
Oh, that's where... Okay. Don't worry. I'll find it.
Yeah.
Hang on. You know what I'm going to do while I do that? I'm going to do this.
If you are sick and tired of listening to the lies you hear from politicians and the mainstream media about Islam, and you want to hear the truth about the crimes that are committed in its name in your country and all around the world, then please tune in to the East Anglian EDL radio show on blogtalkradio.com on Thursdays, Fridays and Sundays at 8:30 GMT and 3:30 EDT. For analysis, updates and news about Islam without any of the lies and political correctness that you hear in the mainstream media, and for updates, news and information about the English Defence League, then come and join us on Blog Talk Radio. You can also listen to all our previous broadcasts at any time by visiting the East Anglian EDL Radio Show archive. The East Anglian EDL Radio Show, the official radio show of the English Defence League.
Right. I love that commercial, don't you, Kelly?
Forgive them, for they know not what
I
they
do. I
do.
And I found the song.
Oh, thank you, Kel.
You bet, Jeff.
You
have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Silent, okay? Thank
you bet. Kel. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade. But the march of the tides is starting to change. Sacrificed on a summer's day, the slaughter of the meek came under the streets. Now nothing can ever be the same. No, nothing can ever be the same. This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade. There's a line in the sand no man can cross. The deserts are yielding to the sea. The oasis of salvation lies within our reach. The children of tomorrow hold the key. The children of tomorrow hold the key. This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade. When three kings from afar follow the star, 2,000 years ago this was the sign. Now the east winds blow, the people should know, this is the sign of our times. 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 This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade. With the wolves at the door, I can't take anymore. This freedom is a heavy price to pay. The road to Damascus seems so far away. It's the battle for hearts and minds today. 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 This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade. This is not a crusade.